I sort of thought about that earlier. The other day I was at a businessmen's fellowship in Chinatown, and they were talking about the underground church and the difficulty of how hard it is for the underground church. And I thought in China it must be really difficult for the... I understand there's a lot of Christians in mainland China, true? Is there any Christians in Hong Kong? Now, are they on television? Do they have a TV show or... So in mainland China, they have TV, Christian television? Do they have signs advertising for churches? Is it estimated they have like 100 million Christians in mainland China? They talk about it could be up to that number, a large number. How do they become Christians? There's no advertisement. There's no television, there's no signs, there's no people standing on the street corners. It's all sort of like underground. It's sort of an underground church. I was wondering, well, how did this happen? And I think it all started out with Jesus as he left. He gives a commission, and it's in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Dan will put it up on the... screen. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So Jesus commissioned us. He said, "You can do this. You're going to go forth in my name, and this is what's going to happen." So I was wondering, now, how does this happen? And in Ephesians 4:11, Paul talks about it. He says, it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and to be teachers. So the Lord has given these, he's given these different roles for people to bring people into the church. So in mainland China, you've got apostles, and apostles is a man who identifies and calls people into their giftings. He's a coach. And he gives some to be prophets. Prophets are men and women who encourage each other, give them support, tell them how good they're doing, tell them whatever they need to hear. And some to be evangelists. Evangelist is a person with a testimony, talking about what Jesus Christ has done in his life, what he can do in your life. And some to be pastors, and a pastor is a man or a woman with a lot of compassion that can listen to your problems and pray with you and tell you the promises of Jesus. And teachers. And teachers, we know they give you the instruction to showing you about what the promises of God are and what the Bible can do for us. So I'm going to focus on the evangelist. So I'm going to turn to... Mark 5, 1 through 20. This is, to me, he's the first evangelist. He is the Gadarene. And I'm going to sum it up because we haven't got that much time. Is that, let me get up my Bible. Jesus and the disciples are heading across, and for some reason, they're on this boat. They're heading across the sea. Excuse me. And they end up not in the city or in the town, but they come to the place where it's sort of out in the tombs, in the rough place. And it says that when they pulled up there, there was a man there. And this man had been in the city, but it seemed like they'd... let me put this here. And they talked about this man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he was often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. He was untamable. He was a violent man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. But this is the good part. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And Luke, I'd like you to stand up and take the place of Jesus, and I'll be the demoniac. Because I've been this guy before. This is my life story. So when this man saw Jesus standing there, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him,
"Come out of this man, you evil spirit."
Oh! And then he said to him,
"What is your name?"
And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And then he begs him, he says, "The demons are talking. Please, you know, cast us into the swine over there." So Jesus gave permission. All he says, the book says, he just gave permission. All the demons left this man. He's standing here with a different mind. Meanwhile, the demons run into the pigs, and the pigs say, "What's going on here?" And they just take off, and they go into the water, and they're drowned. And then the people saw about it, and they start talking about this man. And they became witnesses to what they saw. They had a testimony of what they saw. They saw exactly this whole thing that would have taken place. And they were afraid. And then they pleaded for Jesus to leave the area because they were nervous. What's going on here? This is something we've never seen before. We've always been in control of what our situation. The bad people are over there. The good people are here. And now all of a sudden we see that this bad person has been changed. And it's affected our community. Because all of a sudden we lost our economy because the pigs have all died. But the good news is this man's been delivered. But they didn't focus on that. Because they were in their ignorance. They were just in their own world. Just like you talked about the people in Hong Kong. That just sort of like all competitive and making money. And it's tough to really build up a natural friendship, isn't it? Because people are sort of guarded, suspicious or whatever. And this is what happened here. And so Jesus is getting ready to leave. And it says he got into the boat. And he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him,
"Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you."
And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and marveled at him. Okay, now how long do you think Jesus was in their area? 6 months? 3 months? A month? A week? Maybe a day or two? He was with this man for a day or two, and he told him to go and tell everybody what he had done for him, and people were amazed. Can you imagine how his parents felt? Their son came back, a son that had disrupted everybody's life so much that they had to finally change him, broke his mother's heart. They had to chain him out of the tombs. Keep him separated. And all of a sudden he shows up and the mother looks at him and sees, "That's my son. I know him. That's my son. There's something different about him." And he's talking about what Jesus has done in his life. And people are listening to this and saying, "Wow, there's got to be something here." Now they didn't ask him to teach him. They didn't ask him to pastor. All he did was talk about what Jesus has done in his life. Which brings me to a situation we had in here a month ago, I guess. And I was asked to speak at a Taiwanese church to the young people in Walnut Creek. And there was a young man here who I saw, and I saw the Spirit of the Lord on him. And I asked him, I said, "Would you like to go with me and give your testimony out in Walnut Creek? Talk for like 5 or 10 minutes of what Jesus Christ has done in your life?" And he said, he thought about it and thought about it. He says, "Well, I got to work." He said, "But yes, I want to go. I'll go with you." I says, "Good, I'll pick you up here at 9:30 or something, or 10 o'clock, and we'll drive, and I'll coach you on the way out there." And their service started at like 10:30, 10:15. We had to be there. So he said, "Okay." So later on, I get a text from him that he felt he wasn't ready. And what had happened is he went to his youth group and asked them to pray for him. Why are you going to pray for me? He says, well, because I'm going to go give my testimony. Somehow, he got talked out of it. You're not ready to give your testimony. Not ready to give your testimony? You might not be ready to teach. You might not be ready to pastor. But you're ready to give your testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. How difficult is this? Unless maybe Jesus hasn't done anything in your life. Maybe just joined the club. Because there was good-looking women there or something for the guys. Or guys heard about, the women heard about there's men there with degrees and they, you know, their professions. They got jobs, you know, something like that for potential husbands. And so I got out there to the church. I went and I got out there to the church and told my little story. And it was a group about this size. Half of it was teenagers and college students. The other half were elders. And so I said, okay, who wants to have the Lord give them the gift of sharing your testimony? Stand up. So there's like, you're all the teenagers, college students. And like three stood up. One was the visiting worship leader from India. He stood up. And everybody else sat there, and the adults on the other side, or in the back, there was about two or three set up. And I said, maybe I'm not saying this right, because I have a difficulty in communicating sometimes. I said, what I'm asking you to do is asking God to give you a divine appointment for one time to meet somebody, to be able to share your testimony and save them from going to hell. Now stand up. So after that, two more people stood up over here. So I had half of the teenagers standing up and half the adults. So I just blessed them with that. But I came out thinking, what's going on here? So I talked to the pastor who'd gone to India. I ran with him last Wednesday, and he thanked me because that's the second time I've spoken there, and I don't know if they'll ever ask me back again. But I told him about the testimony. People need to know they have a testimony. You don't have to be a teacher to have a testimony. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to go to seminary to talk about what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Because Jesus has already commissioned us to go, right? Go and tell everybody what he's done in our life. That Azusa Street revival, if anybody's read about it, it probably started in a room about this big. And they had 2x4s over barrels just for chairs. And the pastor would sit up there. And when the Holy Spirit came, that place started rocking. They said he used to kneel down because he had like these little boxes, cardboard. They didn't have cardboard in those days, but these little wooden boxes. He put a cover over his head. And the Holy Spirit would come so strong. Pretty soon the place was packed. People were standing on the outside. It just happened. How could that happen? How could it happen that you have like a little one-room church that's probably just a few people sprinkled around, and then all of a sudden, bam, people start coming from all over the world there. They said that the man that started the Assembly of God churches, he came there because he was going to disprove this guy. This is what's going on here. This has got to be. I've got degrees in this. I've got degrees in that. I know all about religion. I know everything about it. I'm going to come and prove that that man is a fake. He came in here, got zapped by the Holy Spirit, and started the Assembly of God churches. They start speaking in tongues. So how does that happen? It's one of those kind of things. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. And praise God that he's here. Praise God that he's led the people here and brought people back with visions and sending people out. I think this new baby that you're bringing in here is probably, the other night when we were praying for you, I thought, you know, this is sort of like a new baby coming to this community. It's almost like something we can see what God's doing in the Spirit. That a new baby is coming in. Something new is happening here. Anyhow, as I have a tendency to do, the people know me, I get off my notes here. And the story of testimony teaching. Many are called, but few are chosen. So we're sort of, I think we are called in the ministry. Jesus has called us, and he's called us to see, do we choose to serve him? I think the choice is ours. Can we choose to give our testimony? Talk about what Jesus has done in our life, or what he can do in your life? Depends on what your gifts are. That was in Matthew 20:16. Okay, I'm going to focus on, because we're getting a little late here, is on the brethren of the testimony. That's in Revelations 19:10. You'll have it up there. I'm going to read the bottom part here. B. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's at the very bottom. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Worship God. Worship God. That's like the doorway. Worshiping God. Why should we worship God? Well, some of the scriptures say in the Psalms, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 95, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. 96, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Psalm 99, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. John 4, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. Worshiping God is sort of like the door that gets us in. And I have to tell you this. I mean, it's like all of you people here, is everybody in here a Christian? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, raise your hand. Okay, so we're all in good company here. So if it's the kind of thing that I believe Jesus is jump-starting us in many ways here. So we worship God, and the power is in the personal testimony of Jesus. You can put that scripture back up there, Dan. The same scripture, 19? Okay. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in your life is the spirit of the prophetic. And the prophetic is to be able to encourage, edify, and support one another. And we can do it personally because we know what Jesus has done in our life. And when somebody comes up to you and encourages you by what Jesus has done in your life, you're going to listen to them as somebody that's done that. If you're struggling in your marriage and somebody that's never been married comes up to you to counsel you, it doesn't have the same effect as somebody who's been married, right? Especially maybe somebody's had trouble in their marriage. That maybe God is, maybe they've been split up and then the Lord brought them back together. That's somebody you can listen to. That's somebody who has the experience of that. And I'm going to ask, I've been waiting for this. I'm going to ask Luke as my speaker today. I want you to get up and read this from the beginning. Maybe after you read it, I can get going here. Yes, this is John on the island of Patmos. He's writing Revelations, and he encounters this angel.
So John's tempted to worship the angel.
Here, why don't you take the mic?
At this, I fell at his feet to worship him, the angel. But the angel said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Thank you, brother. And actually, the testimony, Your personal testimony with the Spirit of God is what makes you a good teacher. It makes you a good pastor if you've got the Spirit of God, if you have a testimony, because you have something personal that you can speak with. He can, all of the fivefold ministry, the evangelist, the apostle, they all have the right. They all have the experience of this. And what I've been trying to do because of the time thing, I've been trying to compact this thing, and I'm not on together. So what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, because we're going to go through a process here. And I would like Irene to play that song about "Here I Am, Lord." Keep it sort of low. And what we're going to do is it's the same question I asked those young people and some of the older people in Walnut Creek. Do you want an opportunity to share what Jesus Christ has done in your life to save somebody from going to hell? Do you want the Lord to give you a testimony? That's the question. If you want the Lord to give you the testimony, stand up. If you want the Lord to give you a testimony so you have an opportunity to share what Jesus has done in your life, you should stand, because what he's going to do, he's going to show you that you're worthy enough to do this. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to get a quota. All you're saying is, Lord, you do it in my life. So let's just receive. Just bow your head. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord. I want you to, if you feel unworthy at all, or you have any fear or doubts or concerns, confess it to him right now. Holy Spirit, come and lead us. Ask the Lord for the gift of your personal testimony. Ask him to give it to you. Say, Lord, give me the gift of my personal testimony of what you've done in my life. Thank you. The Word of God says in Isaiah 51, "And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. You are my people, says the Lord. You are my people. I have called you. I have chosen you. You have chosen me. I will put the words in your mouth. I will cover you under the shadow of my hand. I will protect you. I will lead you. I will guide you. Just choose to follow me." And the Lord said, "If you take up your cross and follow me, you'll have part of me. If you can't do that, you have no part." But today we have chosen, and we stand together in unity in the name of Jesus for his glory and just for the ride that we're on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, if anybody wants any personal prayer, or if they felt in that as the Holy Spirit might have revealed something to them about themselves, and you want a personal 30-second prayer, Marsh and I'd be glad to pray for you. Amen? Amen. So let's just sort of just rest in the presence of the Lord and be natural.